through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Seahawks in the playoffs. Wild card round kicks off on Saturday, and your Seattle Seahawks are the second game in the lineup. Jake, you picked the perfect time to return to the studio. Your energy right here, it's needed.
Well, yeah, it's playoff time. I mean, there's nothing better than when you're getting prepared for the game and it's win or go home. And you got to start getting some of the juices flowing and get the music going and getting ready to go and getting some of that pump up music. Okay. You feel me? Curtis, turn this up a little bit.
Here we go.
Yeah. It's time. It's playoff time, baby. Win or go home. It's going after the Lombardi Trophy. This is the time where you see the Seahawks take it to the next level.
That's exactly right.
This is what I'm talking about right here. I mean, I hope everybody out there that's listening, you guys are just as excited as me today. I don't know if you are, because as I was driving in here from University Place, I had a nice hour drive into the station. I just kept getting myself more and more excited.
How many times do you listen to this song?
A few times. A few times.
It was bombing up I-5 at like 100.
Yeah.
Even though it was standstill traffic most of the time.
You got to take it to the chorus, Jake. You got to take it to it.
I mean, when you talk about a song that can get you pumped up, just asking it. It's playoff time, Stacy.
I don't know that there is. Playoff time. Seahawks about to face. Are previewing this game, getting ready. Now, Jake, there's going to be an opportunity here for the defense and a mistake they cannot make. Right? The good and the bad. We're going to get to that coming up later in the show. But the easy thing to start with is going to be the biggest battle of the day. Mm-hmm. And that will be where this game will be won, I think, in both of our opinion, between Russell Wilson in the offense and between the Rams defense. Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald. When it's not Aaron Donald, it's Leonard Floyd. All of that brought together by an amazing scheme from their defensive coordinator, Brandon Staley. Mm-hmm. It's going to be tough. This will be the toughest defense that the Seahawks will face. And I'm not trying to get anyone down here. I'm not trying to get anyone, you know, nervous per se, although I am a worrier. What I'm trying to do is to tell you about this game, get you guys ready for this game so we know what to watch for. We know what needs to happen. We know what the Seahawks have to do to win. So let's jump right into that conversation. What do you have to do? What's your offensive strategy versus the best defense in the league? Because, Jake, I've been talking all week about how I want to see more explosive plays.
Yes.
Here I am.
Yes, you have.
Go ahead. I'm backing into the bushes like Homer Simpson. I'm fading into the background because you know what I think is important against this defense? Ball control. That's right, Jake.
Because what?
If they get a defensive touchdown,
no.
That is the only way they're winning this game. The only way the Rams are winning this game is a fumble recovery for a touchdown by Aaron Donald.
And I think that's more than fair. And when you hear Pete Carroll talk about this in cut number two, he talks about Russell's numbers being down of late, but that's not necessarily a surprise or not by design.
We have played some games kind of the way we wanted to play them, and that wasn't to just try to, you know, stretch the field with the throwing game. We want to win the game, and we want to take care of the football and make sure that we're in control of the rhythm of the game as a team. And I felt like we got that done. But we'd like to get our explosive plays back up. You know, that's been a little bit different for us, and we got to look for opportunities. You know, but we don't want to force those. You know, we just want to take them as they come to us and make sure that we're executing really well.
That's the biggest thing, is take it as they come. And they are going to take shots down the field, but it's going to be timely shots. It's not going to be forced down the field. And you're going to be limited with the amount of times that you put the ball in risky situations. And what I'm curious about is the strategy that they have going into this game offensively versus the Rams. Do they try and play the good old rope-a-dope, Stacy? Do they try and go 12 rounds with the Rams and they just try to feel this process out? Hey, the first half, we are okay if this is a low-scoring affair, and in the second half, we're gonna want to turn it on in the third and fourth quarter in particular. Or are we going to come out and are we going to be aggressive? Are we going to come out and dictate to the Rams the type of game or the terms of how this game will be played in the way that they play through their tempo, how effective they can be on the ground with Chris Carson, and can the Seahawks effectively protect Russell Wilson? That part of it, to me, is going to be the key for this Seahawks team in terms of what strategy do they go with? I personally believe that going with more tempo is the best way to go for this team to get their mm-hmm. best shot at the Rams. So, Stacey, you talk about controlling the game, wanting to get your shots down the field, this, that, and the other. I don't think it's you go up-tempo and you're trying to be ultra-aggressive downfield, no. But what you are trying to do is get back on the line of scrimmage, not allow whiz genius Brandon Staley of a defensive coordinator and this offense to or this defense of the Rams to feel comfortable making all their calls and getting perfectly set up. You want to put them on edge right away, and they've done that at different times, and it's been wildly successful for them. So I would be curious as to why you wouldn't want to do that. The only reason why you would want to do that is because you feel like in this game, you talent wise are the better team on both sides of the ball. And basically your job is what you just said, is to not turn the ball over, protect the ball, control the ball, and that will be good enough for you to win at the end.
I think it is good enough. I mean, don't get me wrong. If they survive in advance, that's the goal right now. Win and keep going, or lose and you're out. So at this point, against this defense, the toughest defense in the league by basically any metric, if you want to look at basic stats, yards allowed, touchdowns allowed, explosive plays, completions of plays over 20 yards, 30 yards, etc., they lead there. If you want to look at more advanced analytics, weighted DVOA, all of that stuff, they lead there too. They are no joke. So don't get me wrong. I will be prepared, stacking my little notebooks, coming in here, ready to talk about how Russell Wilson needs to take a shot at DK Metcalf and how they need to be this explosive offense if they want to get to a Super Bowl starting next week should they advance. Because for this one, Jake, I'm okay with a touchdown. I'm okay with two touchdowns. You might only need 14 points to win this one, and I'm not confident you're going to get a ton more than that. Again, that's not to say, you're looking at me, that's not to say that they can't. It's to say this defense is the toughest you will face in the postseason, and this offense, one of the worst. No, this is postseason offenses.
Right.
This isn't the Rams' offense isn't the worst in the NFL by any means. They are the most inconsistent offense, and I think the most kind of struggling at the quarterback position.
Yes.
In the postseason picture right now. This is your opportunity on defense to hold them. This will be their third game without a touchdown. The Rams offense has not scored a touchdown for two consecutive games, an offensive touchdown.
Yeah, and that's to think about that for Sean McVay, that is mind-blowing. They are very, very talented. And I want to remind people that this offense is still a very, very talented offense. Running backs, receivers, tight ends, this has the potential to be an explosive group, yet they have struggled mightily this year, and part of it has been because of their quarterback play. So can the defense run it back? Can the defense be able to replicate the performance that they did? Because I'll tell you this, yep. In the NFL, it's not easy to do. But the way that this group is playing for the Seahawks on both sides of the ball, this is the healthiest this group has ever been. Yeah, you could say that Shaquille Griffin and Jaren Reed and Jamal Adams, they're dinged up, but they're out there. They will play in this game. They will have everybody available to them on both sides of the ball, and to me, this is an opportunity that you have to take advantage of if you're the Seahawks. And when you come down to the simple X's and O's of this game, you are right, Stacey. It isn't about the explosive plays. It's about taking care of the ball. And whoever does that better in this game, to me, is going to win. And I firmly believe that is going to be the Seattle Seahawks in this one. But I think that this is going to be one where this offense is more effective and more efficient than they have been. Stacey, you're concerned about this offense not scoring more than 14 points. I get it. You're going against the Rams' number one defense, and they are legit. But last time around, they scored on four possessions, two touchdowns, two field goals. I think they can improve on that. I really, really do.
Now, are you willing to attach a score to that? Because it is Friday, Jake.
Oh, I'm very aware.
Which means that it is also Bold Take Friday.
It's time for Bold Take Friday.
That's right. It's Bold Take Friday, finally on a Friday after two holiday weeks off. We are back in action. 710-710. That's the Busy Heart Seltzer text line. Text in your bold takes for this wild card matchup between the Seahawks and Rams. Jake, why don't you get us started?
Okay, I'll get you started. You were asking them about that score prediction,
yes,
Stacey.
Sir.
To me, this score, this game is going to be the Seahawks offense scoring 24 points in this game. I just laid out.
24 points.
I think they will score 24 points. Five scoring drives, whether it's two touchdowns and three field goals,
yes,
or that's three touchdowns and a field goal. There will be multiple scoring drives for this team, and I really, truly believe that they will be able to be efficient in the way that they move this ball up and down the field. Russell Wilson, in my opinion, because it's Bold Take Friday, I'm going to take the more bolder prediction that Russell Wilson contributes to three of those touchdowns, and it will be more than enough because the Seahawks defense, I asked if they could run it back. Well, they are going to. They're going to hold this Rams offense to under 10 points yet again.
Woo! All right. 24 points against the Rams. That is impressive. I know they just scored 20 on them. Someone already questioning me when I said, hey, get two touchdowns. That'll probably be enough to win. You guys, I'm not kidding. This Rams defense is legit. I'm still taking the Seahawks to win this one. I am taking the Seahawks to win this one. I'm betting on it. I'm counting on it. Don't get me wrong. But that's a pretty legit bold take, Jake. That's a bold take I want to see happen. I would love to be wrong about that one. Never been happier in my life. I'm
dying to know what your bold take.
Okay,
is.
I think that what we were talking about earlier is right. I think this is a game that will be decided by who wins the turnover battle, and I do not think this will be a zero turnover game. I think the Seahawks are going to focus on ball control, and this is where experience matters. Yeah, it's not exciting to focus on ball control and running the clock out and running downfield. It's not fun football for everyone, but guess what? It's football basics, football principles, and no one is better at doing that stuff than a quarterback who has been there before, eight times before. Russell Wilson, an incredibly experienced veteran coming into this game, he knows how to do that. The Rams, on the other hand, have Jared Goff, who has turned the ball over, including a head-scratching interception when he was apparently targeting Quandre Diggs, much like Carson Wentz there in Week 16, the game he broke his thumb, and also has a couple other head-scratching moments this year. They've also got John Wolford, who threw an interception in his first start, and people in L.A. are loving this guy because he can run around a little bit.
Right.
But don't get me wrong. This will be his second ever NFL start. You're telling me Bobby Wagner, K.J. Wright, Jamal Adams, Jaron Reed, you're telling me these guys are in any way intimidated by a guy making his second ever start in the NFL in the playoffs? This
Shouldn't
is when
be.
Experience matters. This is when experience helps get you all the way. This is why Aaron Rodgers is leading up that conversation. So, here to four. My bold take prediction is that the Seahawks win because they get some help with a defensive score on a fumble recovery by K.J. Wright. Specific.
Okay, so here's my question. So is that a prediction of the defense helping out the offense to get to those 14 points, or is that...
No, I think they tack it on.
Okay.
I think that if my prediction comes true, you get a lot closer to 21 than you do just get that to 14. I think Russell Wilson can find the end zone at least twice, but the Rams have limited opponents to about that 19-20-point mark, and I think that... I don't think the Rams offense can get there.
No, like, I think that's more than fair.
I feel comfortable saying if the Seahawks can get there again, they're good.
Yeah, well, what we saw last time around was actually the Seahawks being able to generate turnovers to stop successful drives for the Rams, right? The Rams were driving down the field. Jared Goff throws an interception. Quandre Diggs and Jared Goff just show off this unbelievable chemistry. Curtis Rogers saw it pregame. They were working well together. I wonder if Quandre Diggs will do that with John Wolford. Do you think he'll be able to get that done?
One would hope so. I mean, you know Quandre. He loves to prepare no matter the quarterback.
He's got that chemistry in there with the opposing quarterbacks. It's crazy. He gets those pregame workouts in, thrown around with Wolford a bit.
I mean, how
it's remarkable.
It is remarkable. So that will be a key, Curtis, that I will be looking for you on Twitter in pregame if we do see that happen.
I'll be there. I'll have my binoculars.
I know
I'll
you will
report.
Be. Running that scoreboard like nobody's business.
All
one
right.
of those scoreboard updates.
You want me on that scoreboard. You need me on that scoreboard.
Let me get to a couple of these bold takes on the Viziart Seltzer text line. 710-710. We'll be getting back to these all day. Also playing a couple wild card highlights all day. So here we go. Now, this one, bold take from the 360. Whew. Want to talk about an explosive play. Get ready for this one. Rashad Penny breaks away for an 80-yard run and racks up more than 150 yards on the ground. That's bold. That's bold. Rams defense number two against the run.
150 from your backup? Holy
150 yeah. from Rashad Penny. You know what? I could believe the Seahawks running backs combining for over 100. I could believe that. I think they're going to focus on that.
Yeah, I mean, I could very easily see that. How about this from the 360? This is from Fred. Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf have a touchdown each and over 100 yards in receiving. Wow, that is wildly bold against the number one defense in the league, a number one passing defense in the league. That goes beyond bold, but I love it. I love it.
All right, one more here. Now, look, I don't like this one. I don't like it, but I don't mind it because it still involves the Seahawks winning. No offensive score until the fourth quarter. So I'm taking this as slow start against a tough defense, but then what happens? You have Russell Wilson in the fourth, and you don't bet against him. So I'll accept that bold take. I'll accept it. It doesn't get the horn.
I would be more than happy if that happened. I don't care how you win this game. This is going to be an ugly matchup, meaning that this is going to be, if you love offense and you love high scoring, this is not the game for you, Troy Aikman and Joe Buck.
Okay.
I don't want to hear you guys complain about this style of game. This will be playoff football. This will be a physical matchup. But if it comes down to the fourth quarter and you see this offense explode and you see Russell Wilson take over the game, this is exactly why you pay this guy $35 million, is to show up in big-time moments and to come through for you. And if that was to be the case, I would be more than happy and extremely excited and confident heading into the divisional round.
Now, 206, I'll get to this one. I know we got three questions at 11:15, but 206 predicts a score. 206, if you are right, I want you to text in your name. We have your number here, so I'll know which one. Text in your name if this is you, because I want to give you a shout-out if this is right on Monday. Bold take, Seahawks score prediction. Score prediction's not normally attached to these, by the way. 31-16. Rams only touchdown coming late in garbage time. 31 points on the Rams.
Wow.
Woo! I like that. I like that. All right, let's get to three questions.
It's time for three questions.
Can't wait for it.
Every day at 11:15, three burning questions for Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
That's the dumbest question you could ask.
What?
Guys, Deshaun Watson not happy in Houston right now. Maybe looking to get out. So,
yes,
hypothetical here.
Uh-huh.
If you were holding the number one pick in this year's draft, would you trade the chance to draft Trevor Lawrence for Deshaun Watson?
I don't think I would. I don't think
so
I would.
So you're taking Lawrence over Watson?
I would take the chance of having a player like Watson under a seriously favorable contract over the next 5 years than to take on a mega deal with Watson, even though you know that he's going to be healthy, he's going to play this game for a long time, and he's going to be a very successful player. I think it's a great question, Curtis, because if you feel like you've got a winning franchise, you are just one quarterback away from really turning this thing around, then I think it's a serious conversation. But if you're like the Jags and you've got so many other pieces to this roster that you have to fill out, you need to have a franchise legitimate quarterback like Trevor Lawrence could potentially be for 5 years while you have all of this cap space. That would be the smart move to go. But guys, I'm telling you right now, this Deshaun Watson Texans front office battle, this is legit. This is not just some storyline at the end of the season with the player disgruntled. This is Deshaun Watson putting this organization on notice and saying, if you do not change, which I don't think you're going to, I want out. You don't put this information out, Stacey, of what's happening behind the scenes. You don't air the dirty laundry to the public unless you are fully aware of what you're doing. And you are forcing the issue to make your organization look bad, so that it gives them a second thought of, man, do we need to deal this guy? And I think that this is not going to be the last time we hear this kind of conversation.
I don't either. I mean, I've seen a couple Texans beat reporters saying, hey, this isn't going to happen. But I don't know. That's a pretty dysfunctional front office right now. And, I mean, we'll get to it in NFL headlines. Why would you reportedly tell your quarterback he'd be a part of conversations and then not include him? Just never tell him that. If that's not the route you want to take, then don't tell him. You're going to sour that relationship so quickly, especially after a bad season. I think I'd take Trevor Lawrence still, but I completely understand why people would go with Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson, I would love to see in just a more successful franchise. I think he's got all the potential in the world. I want to see where he can be when he's consistently given a chance to reach his ceiling, meaning consistently given good protection too. And hey, don't take away Hopkins.
Right.
I also think that the intrigue of this question lies with, does the best college player always transition to being one of the best in the NFL? The answer is no. Now, you've told us before, hey, Trevor Lawrence is legit. He's the real deal. I like what I see, and I've seen enough to tell me he can be the real deal in the NFL. But I think that that doubt and nervousness from front offices is warranted with any pick like that.
Absolutely.
Number two.
Mets making a big splash yesterday for Francisco Lindor. Looks like they're not done shopping, and they have reportedly checked in on Kyle Seager's availability. Is Seager someone you see as an important piece for the Mariners post-rebuild?
I would love to see Kyle Seager be the lone veteran to this rebuild. He's meant a lot to this organization, quietly has meant a lot to this organization. When you look at the stats of what Kyle Seager has done here, it's very impressive. You don't feel that because there was high expectations for him, and he has not fully lived up to that to any stretch when he signed that big $100 million contract. But what he did last year and the role that he played, and when he can play at the level that he did for that 60-game season, I think that that is very valuable in keeping a player like Kyle Seager around. However, you didn't bring in Ty France for no reason.
It's Ty France.
Ty France. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Please. Yeah.
Sure.
We'll
go with that. Ty France, because you pronounce it so much better than
me.
I believe that you brought him here to not only be a great bat for you, but you didn't bring him here to play first base. I think he is there to be your third baseman of the future. I think that's the vision that Jerry DePoto has. And if you're able to deal Kyle Seager, I think that that is a win for your organization just in terms of being able to get money off the books and being able to gear up even quicker to add more talent, younger talent, to this roster in the future.
Yeah, Seager ended up being so much better this year, this past season, than I gave him credit for. That said, I am okay with him not being there post your rebuild, like when you're really trying to go for it. That's not a slight on Seager. It's not because I don't think he makes the team better. It's because I think that he's just a veteran that you eventually are going to move on from. And it's just going to happen eventually. So why not when you're going for it and when you can still make some deals?
Number three.
Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkan says she's optimistic about Seattle's chances for NBA expansion after having conversations with Commissioner Adam Silver. You guys getting your hopes up?
Well, we pre-taped our interview with Brian Windhorst, ESPN Insider, and I'm telling you guys, if you don't stick around for 1 o'clock to listen to that interview that we did with Brian, you're missing out, because I know everybody gets their hopes up and they have been burned before, but I'm telling you, this is a real deal opportunity right now, and that all the signs are pointing to that there is going to be a team back here in Seattle, that the Supersonics will be back here in Seattle. And personally, I think sooner rather than later, at least the plans for expansion being announced sooner rather than later than what people are anticipating. But yeah, I would say that I'm definitely getting my hopes up. And I am very, very excited about NBA basketball being back here in Seattle.
That interview, as Jake said, coming up at 1 p.m. You're not going to want to miss it. All right, don't miss the Seahawks playoff roundtable today from 3 to 4 p.m. on Wyman and Bob. Every weekday during the playoffs, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton are joined by a cast of our NFL experts with an inside look at the Hawks. The Seahawks playoff roundtable daily, 3 to 4 p.m. on the home of the Seahawks playoff run, 710 ESPN Seattle. DeGrasse is going to join us next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Meanwhile, here's Dramatica. Romo holds. 19-yard field goal attempt. Oh, and it's fumbled by Romo, and then Romo's going to run to the end zone, and he's going to get tackled by Jordan Babineau. Amazing. Unbelievable.
Playing those wild card highlights,
Stacey,
all day.
That gives me goosebumps.
You were
me
there,
and my,
right?
Me and my dad were at that game.
When you were just a little baby.
No, Stacy. You may
little
have
cherub.
You may have
little
already
cherub.
Sent your last kids off to college
little
and everything at that point.
Wow.
But was there with my dad. I remember just being devastated that the Cowboys were about to win the game, essentially. And just the shock of what happened in front of us and the reaction and high-fiving everybody around us. Gosh, I wish we could all share those moments together. But, man, that was such an incredible moment. And the place was rocking for, I would say, at least 20 minutes after that moment. It was so incredible. And, you know, actually this offseason during training camp, it was the first time I got to meet, really, really talk to Jordan Babineau. So it was fun getting to meet him and stuff and talk about that moment. But, man, those are the moments you live for.
You know who I got to ask about that moment? That is the Groz, brought to you by Jafco Plumbing and Sewer. He joins us right now. Groz, what do you remember about that moment in the playoffs?
That's when I was a Cowboys fan, so I remember not being particularly excited about it.
Groz.
I had a different reaction than Jake.
All right.
But was in the stands, and it was an amazing play, and it was just – just a reminder of how loud that crowd can get. I mean, that was just amazing because it did seem like it was all over. It was such an easy-looking field goal, and all of a sudden Babineau comes up with that gigantic play, and the crowd went nuts, as we've heard him do so many times, and it wound up being a great memory for the Seahawks for sure. And it was the Bill Parcells' last game as Cowboys head coach, too.
Now, Groz, when you look at those moments like that in the playoffs – do you think we're going to have a moment like that? Maybe not as down to the wire, but do you think there is going to be a big-time, game-changing moment in this game? Or do you think this is going to be just really kind of a slugfest and it's about whoever doesn't make the mistake?
I actually think the former, Jake, I think it's going to be a bait. This game is going to be won. This will be my bold take. This game will be won in the last 2 minutes.
Don't tell me that, Groz.
It's gonna drive you crazy.
I know.
But I think this is gonna be an incredibly hard-fought game, a very tough game, and I think there'll be a big play at the end to win it. And I think the Seahawks will make the big play. I mean, I think at the end of the day, you're gonna go into the fourth quarter in a game that's completely up for grabs, and you've got the better quarterback, and that's gonna carry the day at the end. But the Rams aren't gonna be easy. It's gonna be tough, but I think we're going to have a great moment like that right out of the chute.
Groz, I'm looking at, you know, the Week 16 game. If you were to tell me, hey, in this wild card game, Seahawks win 20-9 or a version of that, right? I'd be really pleasantly surprised because this defense is so tough. That's despite the fact that they just did it. What did they do so well in that game that you think they can replicate in this one?
The Seahawks you're talking about?
Yeah, the Seahawks in Week 16 versus now.
It's, you know, they did play, I guess underline the fact that they were error-free. I mean, mm-hmm. they did not make mistakes, and that is even more important when it comes to the postseason. Russell Wilson is not alone in struggling against the Rams. Everyone does, so you kind of know that's going to be the deal. But if you take care of the football and put yourself in a position to make a couple of big plays, I mean, this is going to be a game that's going to drive people crazy, because the first half is going to be about setting them up. The first half is going to be about trying to set up one or two shots that you're going to have at a big play against this Rams defense, I think. Now, the X factor is this, and I think this is a bigger factor if Goff plays than if he doesn't play. If Goff plays, it wouldn't surprise me if he turned the ball over quite a bit. And if that happens, then the Seahawks can win it easily. But if he doesn't play, I don't think that they've got the same sort of turnover risk with the backup quarterback going, because he won't take the kind of chances that Goff winds up taking. So the blueprint for that Week 16 game is a good one to follow. and just setting them up and making the big plays to win it in the fourth quarter.
The good old rope-a-dope, as I like to call it, Groz. The Pete Carroll just loves to play that rope-a-dope style of game. But I do think it is fascinating to me as I watch the two coaches and their strategies and the way that they want these games to go. Sean McVay really, truly being a perfectionist in terms of his mentality and the way that he wants games to go, whereas Pete Carroll's okay with a little bit of chaos. And in the playoffs, that's what this game is all about. With the way that Sean McVay has tried to generate confidence for his quarterback, do you think that there could be any – you talk about Goff potentially throwing interceptions if he's playing in this game. Do you think there could be any bigger impact or ramification for Goff and the Rams after the season if that was to occur?
If he has a real bad game, I don't know. You know, the fact that he's playing with a thumb that was just operated on might take a little bit of that away. You know, I really think you made a great comment in the beginning about how the two coaches approach it, and I was struck by something in watching that game on television in Week 16. Erin Andrews was the sideline reporter, and she spoke to both coaches, and she talked about how McVay, you know, said, you know, they've got to execute better, and, you know, was very frustrated at this, that, and the other thing, and she talked to Pete Carroll, and Pete Carroll was fine. I mean, it was just exactly what you were talking about. I think Pete Carroll is cool and is uniquely able to enjoy being in games that are ragged and hard-fought and close and tough. I don't think he has a problem with it at all. I'm not sure McVay is in the same realm. I'm not sure he's as comfortable with games like that, maybe just because he hasn't had the experience for games like that. But, you know, get back to your question. If Goff throws four or five touchdown passes, interceptions, that can certainly have ramifications, although, again, if he plays, he is playing with a thumb that was just mashed, so that might cut him some slack.
Groz, I'm going to combine my question with a little bit of Seahawks news breaking now so that everyone's in the know. Seahawks injury update has been updated. Running back Rashad Penny added to the injury report as questionable with a knee injury. I was expecting that Carson would still see the bulk of those carries, then Hyde after him. Penny still not seeing a ton as he's kind of acclimating back to the game. So obviously you don't like to see that because of his very recent injury history with that ACL surgery, but let's look at Carson, given this news. Is this a game where you want to see him take over and you think that they should let him do that?
I do. I think ram him into that line as much as he can take it. And I'm talking about Carson because that's how you wear those guys down. And you know, you got Carlos Hyde as the counter for that. He can be a part of it too. Chris Carson is a big part of the passing game as well. My opinion is he's going to have a huge game. I think he's going to have a huge game. And look, I mean, it's one of those games where don't be frustrated in his first 20 carries if he only has 45 yards, because it's the last five that are going to make the game. So, yeah, I think a big part of the strategy is going to be running Chris Carson. It's going to be frustrating at first, but, again, I believe it'll pay off at late.
Groz, this was a question that was brought up in terms of this game and its rivalry. To me, it takes a life of its own. What do you describe this rivalry being? Because I think it's very real for the players, but I don't know if the fans really feel that sense of rivalry the way that you do with maybe some others.
Yeah, you know, I mean, San Francisco was the one because you had the coaches involved as well, and you had those big-time playoff games, and that's where you know, it really comes from. So I agree with you, Jake. I think from a player standpoint, I mean, these are basically wars these teams play. They're very tough games, very physical games. And you know, Sean McVay had 5-3 now, his record in the last eight games against Pete Carroll, which is rare that a coach would have a winning record against Pete Carroll. You know, I hate to say it, from a Seahawks perspective, if they lose the game, the Rams become a pretty big rival. You know, it's division game. It's the third game of the year. I think that people are going to feel it a little bit because I think the Rams, as long as they can stay good on defense, they're going to remain near the top. But it's hard to compare to that San Francisco rivalry because that's really the only one that Seahawks truly had where both cities were really involved in it and it was really intense. And this one isn't quite there yet, but it can certainly get there the more big games that you play.
Good stuff, as always. Have fun watching the game this weekend, Groz.
You guys, too. Have a great weekend.
Bye. The Seahawks offense is getting plenty of criticism, Jake, fair or not, after slowing down in the second half of the season. But tight end Greg Olsen points out something that they're not getting enough credit for. And you know what? I agree. That's next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
Collins looks deep. He throws down the near side. It's overthrown. It's intercepted by Trufant. Trufant's got it at the 30, 35, 40, 45 midfield. Down the sidelines. He is going to go 10-5. Marcus Trufant. Great blocking by the Seahawks defenders. And Marcus Trufant, his second interception return for a touchdown this season. 78 yards.
Oh, no big deal. Just a Marcus Trufant 78-yard interception return in the 2007 wildcard win over Washington. That's right, playing wildcard highlights as we come into every single segment today.
Wouldn't it just be
getting
great?
Your blood flowing.
Wouldn't it just be great if you could get that? If you could get that in this game, DJ Reed, Shaquille Griffin, Ugo Amadi. I've been dying to see an Ugo Amadi interception, Stacey, because that guy with the ball in his hands, he is electric. We talk about DJ Reed. One of the things I've been surprised that they haven't tried is actually Ugo Amadi returning punt returns and kicks, because that's what he did when he was at Oregon. He was really, really good at it. But he would be a guy that I would love to see with the ball in his hands as well, because I think that if he was able to get an interception in the game, I think that he would do legit damage in a return. So, man, that would be so fun.
I agree. And we're going to talk about an opportunity for the Seahawks defense, hint, hint, related to this and one mistake they can't make coming up at 12:45. First, though, let's talk about the Seahawks offense, because they've been the ones coming under fire lately. Now, there's still plenty of critics doubting that the Seahawks turn is legit. I think it is. I know why people are saying that. Sure, fine. We'll find out soon enough. But until then, the Seahawks offense is going to have, once again, their toughest challenge, and that is playing this Rams defense. It'll be the third time they face the league's best defense. So I'm not exactly expecting fireworks, and that's really what people have been complaining about. They've been saying, where are those explosive plays? Where have they gone? And Jake, you're
people,
ready for it.
People.
Listen, before we get there, though, important to mention that there is something really important that this offense and this team and Russell Wilson have been able to do. And that is find a way to win. They're still 12-4. And Greg Olsen, in an interview with our own Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN, had this to say, cut number one, about what they can do.
You know, I think the positive for us is we've shown that we can win a lot of different types of games, high scoring, low scoring, shootouts, you know, come from behind, hold the lead. And, you know, I think we've shown that we can win in a lot of different styles. And typically in the playoffs, you know, you talk about getting wins, but you never really know how that's going to happen. And, you know, you kind of have to be prepared to win it however you can. And, you know, fortunately this year, I think we've pretty much won a game in every possible manner. So hopefully that bodes well as we move forward.
Now, Jake, you heard this and you thought what?
What I heard is Greg Olsen speaking truth. I mean, think about the ways that they have won this season. The variety of different ways. For a lot of teams, there are very specific formulas that they have to execute in order to win games.
The Rams.
The Rams. I mean, the ability to run the ball and get on the edge through their naked bootlegs and play actions and fly sweeps, that is a way for their offense to get supercharged. When they are able to effectively do that, they become one of the harder offenses in the league to stop. And when you're not able to do that, they struggle mightily. They don't have another way to win. Whereas the Seahawks, they've been able to win by scoring 35 points a game. They have been able to do that by making legitimate two-minute drives at the end of the game. They've won in overtime. They've won by defensive stops on the goal line. This team is about as proven and battle-tested as you could get. And so when you listen to that cut from Greg Olsen, like I said yesterday, it's not a talking point. It's not something you go back to in the media and say, well, I know we're receiving criticism, but we can win any game. It's not a spin. It is a actual true belief. When you're a player in the locker room and you're a player on that field, I'm just telling you that when it comes to a game and you're able to look at your teammates and you're able to believe in each other, no matter what is going on in a given game, that you can win and that you have a leadership group that is spreading that message, it means everything. It means everything. Your confidence is never going to waver. And that's why, to me, I fully believe that this Seahawks team is the hardest out in the NFL. Not necessarily that they're the best team in the playoffs right now, but they will be the hardest out for any team because no matter what, you can never count these guys out.
I think that's true. I think that's a completely fair point. They are not the best offense. They are not the best defense. They are one of the most clutch teams as far as finding a way to get it done in the fourth quarter. It makes their fans pull their hair out sometimes. Count me among them. You're watching the game and you're like, what are you doing? What's happening? All of a sudden they win in the final minute 30 and you're thinking, I never doubted them. Who couldn't be me? No, was not me. Certainly not. But if you're taking the Rams, say that this game is kept a low scoring affair with both defenses holding the opposing offense out of the end zone through most of the game. Say we're 3-3, 6-6, 7-7, 7-10, whatever it is heading into the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me you're taking John Wolford or Jared Goff over Russell Wilson? That's what this comes down to. I know the battle everyone's talking about when they talk about, hey, I favor the Rams in this matchup. They're not favoring Jared Goff in the offense, even though they've got some weapons out there for sure. They're talking about Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey versus DK Metcalf versus Tyler Lockett
Correct.
Versus Russell Wilson. That's the showdown they're talking about. That's what will win or lose this game. You're telling me that you're taking their offense over Russell Wilson? I know that you haven't seen fireworks from them lately, mm-hmm. but they've been here before and they've passed this test. In fact, even earlier this year when they were being the offense that everyone felt like they finally could be, they were hitting their ceiling as an offense. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that they were outscoring everyone, leading the league in scoring. Russell Wilson was
Correct.
Cooking.
Mm-hmm.
They still had to beat the Vikings on a fourth down touchdown. I mean, they still had to have these kind of heart-stopping moments where you thought, whew, man, what a clutch play. They got out of that one. There were still those moments.
Mm-hmm. There certainly was. And when you really boil it down, and the 253, I think this is a great text. Don't forget that over the past 5 weeks, our defense is top five, and our offense is better than the Rams. The last part you said, take it easy, guys. I hope you're not referring to us because we're doing just fine.
Yeah, really, we are doing just fine. We are cool as a cucumber.
Yeah, but personally, imagine this. And as Greg Olsen said, and if it truly manifests itself, that this offense, that this team and in general can win in any style, that will be one of the greatest accomplishments of any team in quite some time. Mm-hmm. That you are able to morph and change and be almost like Bill Belichick and Tom Brady-esque in the way that you've approached each and every single game with a new life of its own, a new story. So that's why when people come to me or that you have said in the past that, gosh, I don't know if they can win a 30-point
I complain to you every
point
day.
Game, right? Yes, it is
true.
A complaint every day.
Yep.
That's why I, in the back of my mind, wait till they have that opportunity. Until they actually play a game where that opportunity arises, where that is what is required of this team, then let's see if they can rise to the challenge or not, because I truly believe that they can. When Russell Wilson back in 2018 went up against Patrick Mahomes in the Kansas City Chiefs and they were the high explosive offense, there were a lot of people that didn't think that the Seahawks had a chance in winning that game and have a chance to go toe-to-toe offensively with that team because of the style in which they played. Offensively, they were a running team and they play action passed and that was the way that they won. But the Seahawks actually won that game and they were able to outpace Patrick Mahomes because they have this unique ability to be adaptable to given games. So that's why I have a lot of confidence in this team. And the formula to win this game is not through offensive fireworks. It is through being able to control the ball, make good decisions, don't turn the ball over, but don't put yourself in a corner where you're playing rope-a-dope just a little too much, right? You're putting yourself, you're playing with fire a little bit offensively. You still need to go out there and dictate the terms to the number one defense in the league, and you're fully capable of that because you've done that this season. You've done it multiple times. first drive, the first time you faced those guys, went up and down the field on them because you dictated the terms of the tempo that the game was going to be played with. In the second half of the game for the Seahawks, they determined the way that they were going to play. And I think that that's really got to be the key to this offense.
All right, this hour of Jake and Stacey is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. We're getting you guys ready for the wild card matchup with insight from Seahawks pregame and postgame analyst Michael Bumpus. He's got some advice for that matchup between DK Metcalf and Jalen Ramsey. You want to talk about bold takes, Jake? This one's pretty bold. That's next.